Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, April 16th, the Vatican sends greetings to Muslims as Ramadan begins. UN envoy says diplomatic unity is the key to help end the war in Yemen. And the president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference urges Americans to promote dialogue in politics. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. The Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue has addressed a message to all Muslim brothers and sisters to show solidarity and friendship as they start their month of Ramadan. Francesca Merlo reports.
Addressing all Muslim brothers and sisters, the message for the month of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr begins by passing on fraternal good wishes for a month rich in divine blessings and spiritual advancement. The message notes that over the last few months of suffering, anguish and sorrow, especially during the lockdown periods, we sensed our need for divine assistance, but also for expressions and gestures of fraternal solidarity. This need for divine assistance that we need and seek is manifold, continues the message. God's mercy, pardon, providence and other spiritual and material gifts. Yet, what we need the most in these times is hope. The message then turns its attention to the importance of hope. As we are aware, it reads, while certainly including optimism, hope goes beyond that. It has its basis in something religious. God loves us and therefore cares for us through his providence. We are also aware that hope has its enemies, warns the message. Lack of faith in God's love and care, loss of trust in our brothers and sisters, pessimism, despair and its opposite, unfounded presumption, unfair generalizations based on one's own negative experiences and so forth. These are all enemies to faith, it says. These harmful thoughts, attitudes and reactions must be effectively countered so as to strengthen hope in God and trust in all our brothers and sisters. Bringing the message to an end, the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue notes that in his most recent encyclical Fratelli Tutti, Pope Francis speaks frequently of hope. In it, the Pope says, I invite everyone to renewed hope, for hope speaks to us of something deeply rooted in every human heart, independently of our circumstances and historical conditioning. Finally, the message reads that we, Christians and Muslims, are called to be bearers of hope for the present life and for the life to come, and to be witnesses, restorers and builders of this hope, especially for those experiencing difficulties and despair. And in a sign of spiritual solidarity, it says, we assure you of our prayer, and we send best wishes for a peaceful and fruitful Ramadan and for a joyful Eid al-Fitr. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The president of the International Committee of the Red Cross, Peter Mora, has highlighted the importance of recognizing our shared human dignity in an interview with Vatican News. Mr. Mora was one of the participants at a high-level virtual event on multilateralism, fraternity and peace organized by the Holy See on Thursday.
I think for me the major takeaway of today's conference was indeed to see that the series of speakers from multilateral organizations, from humanitarian organizations, highlight the communality around human dignity. Whether you look at human dignity from the perspective of religion, of work, of humanitarian concerns, from refugee, from health, all of us have some common foundings which are reflected in the Pope's encyclica on Fratelli Tutti, but which are also reflected in the legal bodies that our organization represent, the Geneva Conventions, the Refugee Conventions, and finding this common ground of value and resurfacing this common ground of values, I think, is an important takeaway in today's world. Also highlighting the concrete importance of having such a communality of views is of critical importance in a world which sees more egoism, more self-reliance, more national introspection. And I think building a counter-narrative to this is of critical importance. And that's, I think, the significance of today's conference. The so similar words and slogans from the Pope's encyclica and from our founding moments just refer to the common basis which is necessary to deliver concrete humanitarian assistance and protection. And in following these value systems, which are so common, the ICRC has grown and deployed over the centuries, and in particular over the last 10 years, an impressive amount of humanitarian services exactly to those who are most marginalized, who are affected by armed conflict, and have brought not only assistance, but also tried to influence behavior of belligerents according to the values and norms of religions and international treaties. And I think all our work at the end of the day, all our concrete work in assisting and protecting people is founded in this value system of which we have spoken.
That was Peter Mora, President of the International Committee of the Red Cross. More than 200 people were killed or injured last month in Yemen, making it a challenging time for Yemenis so far this year. In addition, a second wave of COVID-19 infections is exacerbating the already dire situation in the world's largest humanitarian crisis, where a large-scale famine is looming. Against this backdrop, the United Nations Special Envoy for Yemen appealed on Thursday to warring parties to implement a nationwide ceasefire and agree on a date for peace talks to eventually end their conflict. Briefing the UN Security Council in a virtual session, Martin Griffiths highlighted the international unity in support of ending 6 years of fighting between Yemeni government forces backed by a Saudi-led coalition and the Houthi rebels. He spoke about what the ceasefire means for the people of Yemen.
We've had 6 years of misery and division and warfare. We have massive popular consensus in favor of ending the war. We have diplomatic unity to pursue the goal quickly to end this war. And fourthly, we have a plan as to how to achieve it. The ceasefire, the nationwide ceasefire, means that the guns will fall silent and the roads long blocked by front lines will open progressively, not in a day, but in short order, for the passage of goods, humanitarian first, but then for the free movement of people, for those children to go to their schools without hindrance, and for workers to return to their place of work across the lines that have impeded that. Lastly, and I realize this is a hope, perhaps even a dream, the parties would agree with a date to the resumption of peace talks under the auspices of the United Nations. This political dialogue, and we are ready and we are prepared, will be inclusive, will be Yemeni-owned, will be Yemeni-led, and it will aim to sustainably and comprehensively end the conflict, the aspiration of the people. These arrangements will allow for a normalization of life that has all too often, and perhaps today, seemed and seem like a cruel hope for the people of Yemen. Yet for those of us in many of our countries, are a daily reality, a daily privilege. So let us together call upon the parties not to disappoint, not us, but their people, and instead deliver Yemen from its plight. Thank you, sir.
That was Martin Griffiths, UN Special Envoy for Yemen. The International Organization for Migration and the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, have confirmed that many children were among those who died earlier this week when a ship carrying migrants capsized off the coast of Djibouti. Lydia O'Kane has more on that story.
The International Organization for Migration and the UN Children's Agency UNICEF confirmed that at least 16 children and 27 adults died after a migrant ship capsized off the coast of Djibouti in the early hours of Monday morning. The ship was carrying at least 60 migrants seeking to return home to the Horn of Africa after fleeing war-torn Yemen. Among the dead are 8 boys, 8 girls and at least one pregnant woman. A 7-year-old boy is among the survivors rescued from the waters. This tragedy is the second such incident involving the loss of life of migrant children and women in just over a month. In early March, 80 migrants, including minors, were thrown overboard by traffickers in the same waters. Data from 2021 shows that rising numbers of refugees and migrants, including increasingly women and young children, are willing to face the dangers of the sea route to the Arabian Peninsula, but also from the coast of Yemen to Djibouti, despite the risks. Stephanie Davion, IOM's head of mission in Djibouti, said they are deeply concerned about the senseless loss of innocent young lives in this latest migrant tragedy at sea. We call on our partners and donors to come together to reduce the enormous risks faced by migrants trying to return to Djibouti and those trying to reach Yemen to access the Gulf countries to prevent further loss of life, she said. Meanwhile, UNICEF representative Melva Johnson also voiced her concern about the loss of life and the huge risks being taken by migrants. She said, "We will continue to support childcare with our partners. Most importantly, we must continue our actions to ensure the safety and well-being of migrant children." The IOM and UNICEF are already working together with Djibouti authorities and plan to meet jointly with local authorities to offer support and discuss further measures to prevent such senseless tragedies. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI celebrates his 94th birthday today. He marks the day in simplicity in the Mater Ecclesiae Monastery in the Vatican, where the Pope Emeritus has been living since May 2013. This will be the first birthday the Pope Emeritus will be celebrating without his brother George, who died last year. As protests heat up on the streets of Minneapolis in the U.S. state of Minnesota, an organization of Catholic activists has held an event to help bridge the widening political divide. The event, hosted by Catholics at the Capitol, was forced online due to the violent protests brought on by the police killing of Dante Wright and the ongoing trial of the officer who killed George Floyd last year. Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles gave a keynote address at the webinar and called on Americans to put aside political divisions. As Devin Watkins reports, the Archbishop denounced racism and urged Catholics to promote the dignity of every human person.
Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles gave a keynote address on Thursday to a group of Catholic advocates taking part in a webinar. The event was organized by Catholics at the Capitol, an initiative of Minnesota's bishops. It was held online due to a spate of violent protests near Minneapolis, the state capital, in the wake of the police shooting of a young black man in the area. Archbishop Gomez, who is also president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference, opened his remarks lamenting the killing of Dante Wright, which sparked the violence. Mr. Wright was shot during a traffic stop on Sunday after trying to flee from officers. Police say the officer had meant to use her taser to restrain him, but accidentally pulled out and fired her handgun. Mr. Wright's family says he was racially profiled. In his speech, Archbishop Gomez said the entire nation is praying for the church in Minnesota and that the church is committed to providing leadership in the struggle against racism.
Racism, as we all know, is a grave sin, a spiritual disease and a social injustice. We need to stand together as one church to eradicate this evil from our own hearts, from the hearts of our neighbors, and from the structures of our society.
The Archbishop said one of the reasons that America's political discourse has become so polarized is because some people have turned politics into a new religion, replacing God with strictly secular visions of social justice. Catholics, said Archbishop Gomez, are called to remind all Americans of the dignity of every person and that everyone has a meaning and a purpose that transcends this world.
As Catholics, we also believe that the most basic purpose of government and policy is to protect the sanctity and dignity of the person from the moment they are conceived until the moment they draw their dying breath. My friends, our task in this moment is to bring this beautiful vision to our public discourse, to awaken this awareness of God's love in the hearts of our brothers and sisters.
As America faces this delicate moment, concluded Archbishop Gomez, Catholics must act as peacemakers and reconcilers under the banner of our common humanity. I'm Devin Watkins.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va, and you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. My thanks go to our producers and to our technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.